Making the world a better place one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, everybody. Yeah, that's the introduction. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it is sunny, it is bright, it is great weather in the city of Chicago, and I hope it's great where you are.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, I got it. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, we're on the air, and it's just surprising almost every day. And today we learned that a special prosecutor from the past, a guy from the past who used to be former member of the director of the FBI out of the Department of Justice, is now a special prosecutor investigating the Trump and Russia ties into the 2016 election, which is great. Yeah, I think it's great. A lot of us are so happy that there is a special prosecutor and not someone that Trump handpicked to lie for him to escape prosecution. I mean, something every day coming out of this White House, every single day, if not every hour. You know, it's just something. Let's say if Trump is innocent of all of this stuff, he's still damaged goods. He's still damned. I actually think if you've been following this, then you know what I'm talking about. I actually think that Trump is actually going to resign. Why put America through this impeachment process? You know, it's going to spend a lot of tax money to go through this process. He could just resign and save the taxpayers a lot of money. I'm serious. But Trump people have noted, Trump doesn't give two damns about spending taxpayer money. Just think of that Mar-a-Lago, his golf club. You know, every week or 3 or 4 days, he's at playing golf at Mar-a-Lago on the taxpayer's dime. So he doesn't give a damn about spending taxpayer money, and he really does not. So I guess my point is that always something every day coming out of this White House. And Trump was at a commencement this morning, cadet commencement, and he was giving a speech. The press said he's just whining, and I agree. He was just whining, saying that the press media, that he's so unfairly treated. This would go down in history, how unfairly he has been treated. That's a lie. That's not true. It's Trump that has been doing the mistreating. And if you think about it, nobody's done anything to Trump. Trump has done things to himself. Trump is his own worst enemy. Trump is, someone said, well, Trump is also the enemy of the American people. But Trump is his own worst enemy. He shoots himself in the foot more than anything anybody else has done in the history of the United States. Yeah, it's going to go down in history. Of course, we'll all be dead and gone, but it's going to go down in history. And during that time, people can make their own decisions of what happened, how it happened. You know, Trump was damaged goods from the beginning, even during the campaign of 2016, campaigning in 2015. He was damaged goods already, but somehow he managed to become president of the United States. You know, but nobody is out to get Trump. Trump is his own worst enemy. He does these things to himself. He's the president of the United States. Whatever the hell he does, he says, makes worldwide news, whether it's wrong, whether it's right, whether it's ethical, whether it's unethical, whether it's criminal or uncriminal, whatever words it comes out of his mouth, who he meets with, he is the president of the United States, and he doesn't understand that. So we have a special prosecutor that's going to be taking over the Russian investigation because he fired the guy who was investigating him. And that's something you don't do. You don't fire someone who is investigating you because that makes you look guilty. That makes you look guilty. And it made him look guilty. That was his own making. The press didn't make it. The American people did not make it. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. Trump made this on himself. And now he's blaming all of his critics and the media, saying that we're treating him badly. We're just reporting on him as president. I mean, he's a public figure. His every footstep is monitored. His every word that comes out of his mouth, his every gesture. That's what happens when you're president. You're no longer a private citizen. You belong to America. You're the leader. And Trump can't seem to stand. Now, I actually think Trump is going to resign. Like I said before, it would be a lot easier than going through an impeachment process if this investigation has some merit. And the fact that he's obstructing justice, if this has some merit, he's out of there. You know, even if it comes back where Trump, he's still damaged goods anyway. And you got some Republicans in Congress and the House of Representatives who are still backing this guy. I believe Paul Ryan still has so much trust in him. Well, Paul Ryan is going to have his ass out of there. He's going to be looking for a new damn job, you know, so. Democrat calls for impeaching Trump from the House floor. Yeah, I've seen that video, and it's tough. I mean, he's calling for impeachment. He's not the only one now. Most Democrats are calling for impeachment, and there's a few Republicans who are calling for impeachment, and you have some Republicans who are just liver-livered cowards who won't say nothing, who will not back up their earlier statements calling for his impeachment. They're cowards, and that's all that is. So the news that's coming out, folks, is that there is a special counsel that's going to be taking over this investigation into Trump Russia ties, into meddling into the 2016 election, which is great, you know, because Trump wanted to pick his own. No, he'll just pick somebody who's going to get him off, who's going to lie and cheat and get him off. That ain't going to happen. And I'm pretty sure that Trump does not want this special prosecutor because, you know, and I'm hearing also that Russia has been paying Trump. That's possible. Maybe that's why we haven't seen his taxes or some other kind of documentation stating that he's hiding. Oh, he's hiding something. There's no doubt about it. Trump is totally hiding something. And he is so much in love with Russia, no matter how much he said that he's not involved with Russia. The more Trump says he's not involved in Russia, the more we find out that he is involved with Russia. And I do believe that he wanted Russia to interfere in this election. Remember that infamous video? He looked straight into the camera and said, "Russia, if you're listening, I want to see those 33,000 emails of Hillary's. And the next thing you know, voila, they were there. And the Trump administration tried to blow that off. And said he was joking. And they're also saying he may be joking about saying that Comey, this latest memo from Comey saying that Trump actually tried to obstruct justice. These are not jokes. This is serious stuff. You don't go into the presidential office and joke. Robert De Niro was right. This guy is a clown. He's a buffoon. He's a con man. He's a carnival man. He's not a politician. He's not a public servant. He's a businessman. He's a mogul. He loves to have people around him who's going to kiss his ass, make him feel like he's the king, the emperor. I mean, if you don't make him feel like that, then he fires you. He wants you to kiss his ass. That's what he likes. That's what he's used to. That's what he's used to. People following up behind him and kneeling down at his feet and all of this kind of thing. And he can't wonder why the rest of us, we're not doing it. Anyway, my guest today is Sharon. It says here, Sharon McReel. Okay. All righty. Sharon McReel. Hopefully we'll be on the George Wilder Jr. show. I always say hopefully, but you never know. People have other things that come up and they can't make it or whatever. But, we'll see what happens there. It is 6:13 straight up Chicago time. It's about 80 degrees in the city of Chicago. As I've said yesterday on the show, it goes from one stream to the other in the city of Chicago. I haven't seen spring yet, but there's summer. Summer is here. And I'm hearing that later on in the week, next week, it's going to get a lot of cooler. It's going to drop again. We're walking out with shorts, no shirts on, and sandals today. But next week, we're going to have to put on coats. That's coming from the meteorologist. And that's about the size of it in the city of Chicago. One day it's nice. Two or three days is nice. The next day you're back with your winter coats. All right. You've been listening to City of Chicago. Be nice to one another out there. You know, it's so easy to be nice and to be cordial to one another. There's too many people out there that's mean and nasty and just ornery for no good reason at all. And try to be nice to one another, be kind to one another. But, you know, always watch your back, watch your surroundings. But don't be mean and ornery if you don't have to, okay? And this is all about making the world a better place one show at a time. That's all it's about. We're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to try to make the world a better place. And I always try to have people on the show that's going to, provide that, actually. Making the world a better place. That's all it's about, making your lives a little bit better. Making all of our lives a little bit better. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, straight up out of Chicago. And here is a little taste from that Comey's memo.
Was first reported Comey's by the memo. New York Times. The president said this, and I'm quoting Comey in the memo. Comey says the president said, "I hope you can see your way."
It's a little low. Okay, we're gonna try and work on the audio. Okay, let's
let this go.
Try to work on the audio a little bit.
Saying, quote, the president.
But it's a little low. We're gonna have to work on the audio on that. Okay. Yeah, it's Trump whines at the commencement. He's saying that people are treating him like garbage. I've said this before. They said that people are treating him like garbage and that he's never been treated so badly in his life. He's going to go down in history as the most unfairly treated president of the United States. And I'm going to say this again, folks. Trump is his own worst enemy. The media is not doing anything. The American people is not doing anything. He's making this news all on his own. And he's been doing it way before he became president. Okay, he's at a commencement ceremony for Coast Guard graduations. Donald Trump advice for Coast Guard graduates, I'm doing a tremendous job as president. Now, those are his quotes. Quotes. He's saying, I'm doing a tremendous job as president. No, you are not. No, you are not. And I'm not saying that because I don't like Donald Trump. I'm not saying it because, you know, I want to say it. I wish I could say that Donald Trump was doing a great job as president. I really do wish I could say that. But I can't. I can't. I'm not jumping in Donald Trump's ass because he's president. I wanted, if you've been listening to the show months back, I was saying, hey, give Donald Trump a chance. I was like Dave Chappelle. I was saying, give this man a chance. He's president now. Give him a chance. And it's been over 110, 120 days that he's been in office. Now I'm saying, no, he's not. He's done an awful job, or he hasn't done his job, period. He has not done a tremendous job as president. Even some of his own supporters are saying that. Even some of his own supporters are saying what I'm saying. He's not done a tremendous job as president. That's crazy. That's loony. Even though he had so many opportunities to do a tremendous job. No way, no how. But if, you know, if he's allowed to stay in office, if he survives being impeached and he can go on, maybe down the line he can become a tremendous president by doing a great job. But, you know, but as of now, in my opinion and some others, no, he has not done a great job. I think he's taken America down, America's status down in the world. You know, so because what's with this special prosecutor, Russia, meddling into the election, a lot of and a whole, it's a litany of things. Something's always coming out of this White House. No, I'm doing a tremendous job as president. That's in his own mind. That's in his own mind. He is not. That may be what he's going to say once he's impeached. I've done a good job as president, and everybody else out there are just assholes. You know, that's Donald Trump. Also, Trump argued no political party. No politician in history has been treated worse or more unfairly by the media than he has. And I've said this before. Donald, you brought this on yourself. You're the one that had an ongoing war with the media, calling them fake news and saying that the media was the enemy of the American people. Nobody said those things about you, and you made the media your enemy. One of the things you can't do, you can't make the media your enemy. They can make you and they can break you. But Donald Trump feels that I'm Donald Trump. You know, so he's not fit to be president. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on. Okay, we're going to go a little bit more on this. President Donald Trump found another opportunity to attack the media during a commencement ceremony at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy today on Wednesday. Trump stayed fairly on script for the first half of the speech, but then he was quick to praise his administration and lashed out at the media while offering advice to the graduates. That's Trump. Never give up. Things will work out just fine, Trump said. Look at the way I have been treated lately, especially by the media. Wow. I'm pretty sure some of those graduates are going to buy what he said. And he also, I'm repeating again, no politician in history has been treated more worse or more unfairly by the media. The guy still doesn't realize that he's the president of the United States. The media, reporters, talk show hosts, the news outlets, we're going to, whatever. He's the president of the United States. He's the leader. And then Trump touted his accomplishments. arguing that his administration saved the Second Amendment. Okay, his administration saved the Second Amendment and claiming plans for a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border are going along. I don't think there's ever going to be a wall. I don't know if Trump can actually get any kind of legislation through with all of these investigations into his administration. He's saying the wall is going along very fine. That's a lie. The wall is not going along very fine. There's no construction along the border. There's no wall construction along the border between Mexican and the United States. There's no wall being built. There's no construction going on there. So it's not going along well and fine. And it's not going to be built. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't think Trump is going to be able to get any kind of legislation through. I really don't. I don't think he's, especially with all these investigations and, going on. He can't govern like this. Three quarters of the country want him impeached. He can't govern like this. And for him to say things like that, I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyway, it's bad. It's totally bad. It's badder than bad, folks. But we're gonna have to, keep our wits about ourselves. But you know, in any way, this is bad for America. This is totally bad for America. This will always be bad for America. No matter how this turns out. And I'm talking about Trump because this is very important. I mean, this is America. This is our country. And we should be concerned about it. We should be concerned about it and we should be involved in it. You know, no one man. We can't let one man ruin our lives. This is our country. We should fight for it. We should fight to make it better, not to make it worse, which is what Trump and the Republicans are doing. We just have to do that, folks.
So now you guys know James Comey was the director of the FBI. Donald Trump fired him and later made a terrible mistake by admitting on national TV that he fired him because of his Russian investigation. That right there could be obstruction of justice. But we have a new twist in the story, and this one is monumentally important. So it turns out James Comey had a habit of taking memos immediately after all important meetings, especially obviously with the president. So he'd been doing this all the way back when he worked for the Bush administration, and he had taken some memos on what they wanted him to do on warrantless wiretapping, which he didn't want to authorize. And when the Bush administration challenged them on it, they got those memos, and Robert Mueller, then the head of the FBI, also had taken a memo, and it corroborated what Comey was saying. So that was how he won that battle. So now we find out Comey's got a memo about a meeting that he had with Donald Trump on February 14th, where he basically asked him to drop the Mike Flynn investigation. Uh-oh, that's obstruction of justice. So let me back up a little bit here and give you a tiny bit more context. Now, the famous dinner that Comey and Trump had was on January 27th. That's where he asked for the loyalty pledge from James Comey, and Comey wouldn't give it. Now, that was one day after Trump found out that the FBI was investigating Mike Flynn and was about to have a conversation with him about his calls with the Russian ambassador. So a day after he finds out there's a Flynn investigation, Trump then asks Comey to come to dinner and tells him to promise him loyalty and to stop the Russian investigations. Okay, so then on February 14th, he has a national security meeting. At the end of the meeting, he asks everybody to leave except James Comey, asks him to stay. Now, that is one day after Mike Flynn had been let go because it turns out he did call the Russian ambassador and did talk to him about sanctions and had lied about it. So, again, Trump, one day after the latest revelations about Mike Flynn, panics, has Comey in, and apparently, according to James Comey's memo at the time, not now, he wrote the memo at the time, Trump said, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go." That is asking the FBI director to drop an active investigation on someone who was his national security advisor. It's obvious that Mike Flynn knows something very, very important about Trump's connections to Russia. According to White House officials, Donald Trump has been trying to reach Mike Flynn ever since he was fired. And everybody keeps telling him, you're not allowed to call Mike Flynn because that would be witness tampering. He's a witness in your possible collusion case with Russia, and he's under investigation. You can't talk to him. He desperately wants to talk to Flynn. He desperately wants to end the Flynn investigation, and apparently he has the FBI director. Now, Comey apparently has memos of every meeting and phone call he had with Donald Trump that he recorded at the time and made sure that it was put into the record at the time, okay? He did not share it with the people investigating Trump on Russia because he didn't want to influence that investigation, but he kept it just in case in the records just so that if a situation like this came up, they would know that he didn't say it afterwards. He didn't say it after he was fired. He actually had written that memo at the time. Now, Jason Chaffetz, who's one of the persons who's supposed to investigate Donald Trump in the House, he's a Republican and he'd been reluctant to do that, just said, "I've got my subpoena pen ready," saying that if that memo exists, as the New York Times is reporting today, I'm going to subpoena it and I'm going to find out what's on it, and we're going to find out if Comey actually did say that at the time, because that is a massive legal problem for Donald Trump. And the other big problem is one that he brought about, which is that he admitted, he said, "Oh, Comey better, hope that there aren't tapes of our conversations." Does that mean that Trump was taping, as we told you on the show yesterday? Trump has a habit of taping conversations that goes back decades, and everybody knows this. If he was taping those Comey meetings, and it turns out Comey's right about what Trump said in those meetings, well, he's toast. Obstruction of justice, and he's got to go. And now at the same time, Roger Stone going out there and putting out a theory, very connected to Trump, that Trump might have Alzheimer's. No one in the press was saying that until Roger Stone, confidant of Trump, put that in there. And he said, now some people are saying he's insane. Nobody said that until you brought it up. Is that setting up a legal defense for Donald Trump because they know he's toast? I don't know, but the Comey memo is deeply, deeply problematic for Donald Trump. And this thing could be over a lot quicker than we anticipated. So he's on the ropes. I know that people think he can get out of anything. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's incompetent. I think that he keeps damaging his own chances by admitting things he shouldn't admit. And I think that kind of incompetence is going to be exposed. And he's in a world of trouble. Mike Pence, you better get ready, son.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Any essential distinction between Donald Trump being merely an idiot marionette belonging to Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump behaving like an active Russian agent has been fully erased in the course of just over 1 week, and it has been erased by Donald Trump. When the damning stain of illegitimacy grows on this presidency week by week, hour by hour, when every moment of the political discourse of this nation becomes consumed by a debate over not whether he has been placed in office by the efforts of a foreign power, but a debate over how much of that subversion he knew in advance, he will have no one to blame but himself, because he cannot leave it alone, because every move Donald Trump has made this year has been politically tone deaf. He could not make it look more like he is covering up something, something horrifying, if he hung a sign around his neck reading, cover up. He reeks of cover up. And in his neurosis, unsatisfied with having fooled some of the people some of the time, he has not merely ignored the option a real president would take, invite a full investigation. He has also waited weeks before trying the option a skilled traitor would take, shut up and change the subject to, say, Meryl Streep. And still, like a desperate child, he has to keep bringing this subject up, keep shouting those key words that he should never speak again, Russia, hacking, Assange, Putin, until he can presumably convince himself that he has convinced everyone everywhere that none of it is true, and until he can convince himself everyone now agrees with him about how strong and powerful he is and how he has now won. It is madness, and it will destroy him. December 29th, I think we ought to get on with our lives. I think that computers have complicated lives very greatly. The whole age of computer has made it where nobody knows exactly what's going on. But saying nobody knows exactly what's going on means even he doesn't know exactly what's going on, and he can't let anybody believe that. December 31st, I know a lot about hacking, and hacking is a very hard thing to prove, so it could be somebody else. And I also know things that other people don't know, and so they cannot be sure of this situation. Pool reporter, what do you know that other people don't know? Trump, you'll find out Tuesday or Wednesday. All we found out Tuesday or Wednesday was his willingness to publicly advertise his own paranoia. Tuesday, January 3rd, 8:14 p.m., the, quote, intelligence briefing on so-called, quote, Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. The delay was for a family emergency. The delay was of an intelligence briefing, the likes of which he has reportedly been skipping for 2 months. Wednesday, January 4th, 7:22 a.m. Julian Assange said a 14-year-old could have hacked Podesta. Why was DNC so careless? Also said Russians did not give him the info. Trump has here cited and given credibility to Assange of WikiLeaks, about whose activities Trump said in December 2010, I think it's disgraceful. I think there should be, like, death penalty or something. Wednesday, January 4th, 8:27 a.m. Somebody hacked the DNC, but why did they not have hacking defense like the RNC has? And why have they not responded to the terrible things they did and said, like giving the questions to the debate to H? A total double standard. Media, as usual, gave them a pass. Trump has now justified international espionage against Americans, provided they are guilty of something, or provided he merely thinks they are guilty of something, especially if the espionage involves Julius Assange. Thursday, January 5th, 8:25 a.m., the dishonest media likes saying that I am in agreement with Julian Assange. Wrong. I simply state what he states. It is for the people to make up their own minds as to the truth. The media lies to make it look like I am against intelligence when in fact I am a big fan. He cannot leave it alone. He must not only erase what he himself has just done, he must find a new scapegoat. Thursday, January 5th, 7:24 p.m. How did NBC get an exclusive look into the top secret report he, Obama, was presented? Who gave them this report and why? Politics. He asks about NBC, but he does so in his standard way of scapegoating the media. Politically, scornfully, not seriously, not officially, not ominously. But the next morning, somebody else does all that for him. The tweet from WikiLeaks. The Obama admin CIA is illegally funneling top secret comment information to NBC for political reasons before POTUS even gets to read it. That tweet was from 5:48 a.m. January 6th. The next tweet is from 11:51 a.m. January 6th. Trump, I'm asking the chairs of the House and Senate committees to investigate top secret intelligence shared with NBC prior to me seeing it. He's now desperate enough to try to change the subject from his connection to WikiLeaks that he does not even seem to realize he has just connected himself to WikiLeaks. Perhaps somebody pointed that out to him too, because next, by phone, to the New York Times, China, relatively recently, hacked 20 million government names. How come nobody even talks about that? This is a political witch hunt. Then comes the actual briefing on the hacking, a briefing he had avoided, on hacking he had dismissed, from an intelligence community he had undermined, and after it comes a very, very cleverly phrased written statement. Quote, I had a constructive meeting and conversation with the leaders of the intelligence community this afternoon. I have tremendous respect for the work and service done by the men and women of this community to our great nation. While Russia, China, other countries, outside groups and people are consistently trying to break through the cyber infrastructure of our governmental institutions, businesses and organizations, including the Democratic National Committee, there was absolutely no effect on the outcome of the election, including the fact that there was no tampering whatsoever with voting machines, etc. Did you see what he did there? Merely through juxtaposition? The first paragraph describes a meeting with the intelligence community and its work. The second paragraph describes the conclusion that cyber attacks had no effect on the outcome of the election. Composed that way, it seems as if the intelligence community has concluded the hacking had no effect. But the conclusion is only Trump's. The intelligence community's report doesn't merely offer a different conclusion, it makes Trump's written statement even more deceptive and more malicious. We did not make an assessment of the impact that Russian activities had on the outcome of the 2016 election. The U.S. intelligence community is charged with monitoring and assessing the intentions, capabilities, and actions of foreign actors. It does not analyze U.S. political processes or U.S. public opinion. When that real version of what the report did not conclude was officially released, Trump looked like a liar. So, that night, back to blaming the victim. Friday, January 6, 10:53 p.m. Gross negligence by the Democratic National Committee allowed hacking to take place. The Republican National Committee had strong defense. But the intelligence briefing actually concluded the Republicans were also hacked by Russia. Russia just did not distribute its RNC data. So now change the story again. Saturday, January 7, 6:56 a.m. Intelligence stated very strongly there was absolutely no evidence that hacking affected the election results. Voting machines not touched. He has just erased the subtle deception and misdirection in his Friday statement and replaced it with a flat-out, transparent, childish lie because he cannot leave it alone. Saturday, January 7th, 7:03 a.m. Only reason the hacking of the poorly defended DNC is discussed is that the loss by the Dems was so big that they are totally embarrassed. And here, Trump's story spirals out of anything resembling his own control of it. It has gone from Russian espionage to him invoking the hacking of voting machines to him disparaging half the country 13 days before his inauguration to Saturday, January 7th, 10:02 a.m. Having a good relationship with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing. Only stupid people or fools would think that it is bad. We have enough problems around the world without yet another one. When I am president, Russia will respect us far more than they do now, and both countries will perhaps work together to solve some of the many great and pressing problems and issues of the world. In 3 hours and 28 minutes, Trump has gone from espionage to hacking voting machines to calling tens of millions of Americans fools and stupid to a call for cooperation with Russia that reads, bluntly, as if it were written in response to instructions from a blackmailer saying, you better fix this, Trump. You better make us look good, Trump. And so the desperation escalates still further. Sunday, January 8th, 1:56 p.m., before I or anyone saw the classified and or highly confidential hacking intelligence report, it was leaked out to NBC News. So serious. The hacking itself, we ought to move on with our lives. It's only being discussed because he beat the Democrats. The possible leak about the hacking, so serious. And then Meryl Streep changes the topic for him on Sunday night at the Golden Globes, and the final one of his campaign managers changes it right back. Because he cannot leave it alone. The fact is, Kellyanne Conway said Monday, dismissing the need for a Russian hack investigation and suggesting Trump may roll back both President Obama's punishments of them and other U.S. sanctions against Russia. The Democrats became super-duper interested in this entire issue after the election did not go the way they, quote, wanted and the way they expected. Trump, himself directly or via his mouthpieces, cannot leave it alone. Neither can he alter his personal connection to WikiLeaks. Again, that Saturday morning tweet. Intelligence stated very strongly there was absolutely no evidence that hacking affected the election results. But even without the Russian element, the hacking is WikiLeaks. And as a review of his speeches by thinkprogress.org showed, in the last 30 days of the campaign, Trump invoked WikiLeaks at least once, every day, for a total of at least 164 times in 1 month. October 10th, 2016 at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks. And I said, write a couple of them down. Let's see. During the speech, crooked Hillary Clinton. Oh, she's crooked, folks. She's crooked as a $3 bill. Okay, here's one. Just came out. Trump is here interrupted by a chant of lock her up. Lock her up is right. He brought up WikiLeaks in a debate. He claimed the WikiLeaks product meant Hillary Clinton shouldn't be, quote, allowed to run for president. He complained in speeches and on Twitter, and it still sits there on his Twitter feed, that there was not enough coverage of WikiLeaks. October 12th, 9:46 a.m., very little pickup by the dishonest media of incredible information provided by WikiLeaks. So,
all right, let me break in here. Trump is saying, Donald Trump, yeah, there is no collusion. I'm assuming he means there's no collusion with Russia, if I can say it. And I'm quoting him, I look forward to this matter concluding quickly. His vocabulary is picked up. I guess he's studying the dictionary of something. But anyway, former FBI director to investigate Russian meddling. So we have a special prosecutor, something the Trump administration did not want, something they tried to avoid getting, but finally they got one. And his name is Robert Mueller. He's done this before. He's been head of the FBI. He was head of the FBI during the Bush administration. And I think he lingered over for 2 years during the first during the first term of the Obama administration. But he's back, and he's independent. Well, not quite independent from what I'm hearing, but he's independent enough to do the same things that he's done before, I'm assuming, and that crap, you know, this is bad. This is really bad, and I don't think Trump could actually legislate. I mean, he's got a lot of things on his table besides executive orders. He's got a lot of things legislatively on his table, and I don't know how he can do these things with these two or three investigations looming over him that could be the end of his presidency. Okay, named Robert Mueller to oversee federal probe and campaign interference, and this does not peg well for Donald Trump. A lot of people in Congress, a few of the senators, a few representatives are calling for him to be impeached. And Trump is saying, I'm being treated unfairly. Give me a break. Obstruction of justice is a crime. No president is above the law. Obviously, he thinks he is. He thinks everything he does should be overlooked or just blew aside because he's the president. So anything the president do he can do, regardless, even if it's illegal. This is how Trump thinks. This is how his administration thinks. But this is not how the Constitution and the law thinks. You know, Trump come in the office trying to, you know, be king. I mean, to be a dictator, you know, and to just fuck over people. He came in the office to do those things. And it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. He'd step on you and just squash you just as quicker, faster, and more immediate. Some of his backers, some of his supporters, people who voted for him. And this is a fact. They're disappointed in Trump. They said they didn't ask for this. What they want is jobs. They want to see a wall built. They want to see Hillary go to jail. These are the things he campaigned on. These are his promises. These are some of the things to why he was elected. He wasn't elected to obstruct justice. He wasn't elected to cheat to gain the presidency by having Russia meddle in the election of 2016. And his latest statement, from what I'm reading here, it says that he's not going to resign. He's gonna get through this. He's gonna get through it. We're just gonna have to wait and see, folks. We're just gonna have to wait and see, because, like I've said, it's so much coming out of this White House. You just can't keep the hell up. You really can't. You know, so much is coming out of the White House. It is phenomenal. Okay, someone had contacted me on the radio show and asked me, would I have a guest on to talk about aging? And of course, we're gonna have a guest on to talk about aging. But right now, I want you, that person or these people, to listen to this, because this is, let's see, this is aging. Okay, staying young. Okay, staying young, and something we all want to do. But you know, it doesn't matter how old you get. If I can change the subject. It doesn't matter how old you get. You can always stay young. If you're 60, 65, 70, you can always stay young. Feel young. Be young. You don't always have to have pain. You know, some people get pain. Oh, it's a sign of getting old. But there are some things there's some things about growing old that are inevitable. You know, it's not because, you know, you're getting old. But you don't have to be old and crevit, you know, crepit or anything. You know, you can be old and feeling good. Getting old and feeling young every day. Okay, here we go.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
New videos every day.
Hi, this is Dr. Vince Balanzi. I want to talk to you about anti-aging. Now, we really don't have control of time. We can't turn the clock back. The years will pass. But do you know that so many things are blamed on age? It's not true. Let me give you an example. I was getting ready to run the Boston Marathon. And as we were all lining up in the areas of by time, we're walking up and there's a group of us and there's this cute little old lady walking there. And we're just all amazed. All of us. There's several of us gathered around her. We come to find out it's her 80th birthday. She's about to run a marathon. And we're thinking just how amazing that is. And then we realize that there were other people that had fairly number of years had passed. And as we walked up and lined up, she happened to line up with me. Now, I thought I had a pretty good time, but here's this 80-year-old on her birthday going to run a marathon. She's going to run 26 miles. Well, I don't know if I beat her or not, but I do know that she was quite capable of doing it, and I have no doubt that she finished the race. That's what all of us should be capable of. There's no reason why at 80 years old you couldn't do that if you kept yourself in condition. So when I talk about anti-aging, I'm talking about not allowing the body to lose its function. That's really what it comes down to. It's not really the passage of time. Your body does not wear out. It regenerates itself. We know that the entire body can regenerate itself in a year. the liver and the lining of your stomach regenerate in days. So that with this turnover of cells, with this ability to regenerate, it's not like a lawnmower. Your body can maintain a reserve. Now, what do I mean by a reserve? When you're younger, you have this huge reserve, right? You can eat dirt. You can roll on the floor. You can fall down. It doesn't seem to faze you. We've got a big reserve. Your body regenerates easily. You're not hurt very easily. It's really hard for your body to get sick. It's because everything's working well. Well, as time passes, and especially if you don't take care, you lose that reserve. Then you start having symptoms. Symptoms that we want to blame on aging, but it's not aging. In a sense, it's neglect. If your joints hurt, if you've got all these allergies, if you've got a number of diseases, if you're stuck with a bunch of labels, most of them are a result of your lifestyle, if not all of them. So you want to maintain that reserve. When we talk about anti-aging, we're talking about exerting that control, not letting that reserve disappear. We use several what are called biomarkers to determine how old you are. And it's different from using the number of years that have passed. We can look at lab work. We can look at how the body's operating. You can actually have a younger biological age than you have a physical or chronological age. So with a little bit of care, you can, in a sense, anti-age. Because if you keep your body healthy, if you work within the parameters the body can work with, if you keep it functional, you can keep it young. You can be that 80-year-old woman lining up to run a 26-mile race. Now, not that you necessarily want to run a marathon when you're 26 years old, but what if you could? What if you had the ability to run that far in a reasonable amount of time when you were over 80 years old? That's a possibility for everybody. Again, we want to blame things on age. It's not aging. Arthritis. Everybody wants to say when they get old, their joints hurt because of age. It's not age. It's the fact that the immune system is probably dysfunctional. There's a lot of swelling in the joints because of that. Perhaps there's been some damage to the joints and they weren't rehabbed correctly. You know, most people that think that they can't participate in some kind of activity can if they're conditioned. It's the weekend warrior that tears his knees apart. It's not the conditioned runner. And I don't care how old the runner is. It's about proper conditioning. It's about stability in the joints. It's about keeping that immune system functional. It's not the number of years. It's the abuse. The neat part of it is that you can turn that around. With some care, with some conditioning, with proper lifestyle, you can beat aging. You can not only live longer, but it's really more about the quality of your life. So when we talk about anti-aging, we can get into bioidentical hormones, which we work with a lot. We can get into neurotransmitters. We can get into exercise. We can get into all the things that I'm talking about as far as conditioning. And that's how you accomplish anti-aging. We'll take hormones, for example. Growth hormone. It's considered the anti-aging hormone. Most clinics that do anti-aging will look at growth hormone and supplement it if necessary. And most of the time, it is necessary. Your body's supposed to be able to make growth hormone until the day you die. It has the capacity to do so. But most of us with time decline in our production of it. So if you take the growth hormone from the outside in the right way, you can actually enhance your own production again. You know the other times that you make growth hormone? A good night's sleep, getting to that third stage of sleep. So get your sleep. You will make yourself some more anti-aging hormone. The other time is during intense exercise. Not so intense that you can't do it, but more intense than a walk to the mailbox. So exercise and sleep, and you'll make some growth hormone, and you'll be doing anti-aging. Now, in our clinic, we test levels of other hormones. We try to get the ratios correct, and we do, in a sense, practice anti-aging that way. Because if we can balance your hormones, not necessarily taking them back to levels you had when you were in your 20s, but just getting them balanced and enough there to do the job, you, in a sense, are anti-aging. You are stopping the process that we attribute to aging. Again, it's really a process of allowing the body to become dysfunctional. So you can practice anti-aging yourself. You can go to an anti-aging clinic, but it's really about how you treat your genetics and not the amount of time that they've been here. So please, if you want to learn more about anti-aging, you can go to our website, bewellrx.com. You can contact an anti-aging clinic. where they can do some therapies, but it's not that there's a magic pill that will make you young. You're going to make yourself young by taking care of yourself. Have you ever noticed when you're active, when you get some exercise in, when you're eating right, you just feel better? That's what anti-aging can come down to. Getting the nutrients in, making the body functional, and making your biological age younger than your chronological age. So again, when we talk about anti-aging, we're really talking about building a reserve. I want to talk a little bit more about organ reserve because that's really the secret to anti-aging. If you have organ reserve, you tend not to have as many symptoms because your body takes a stress and you don't have a problem because of it. Let me give you an example. Somebody says a crossword to you. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your boss, and you get a headache or you have to go lie down. That's not normal. You shouldn't be bedridden because somebody stressed you a bit. What's a normal reaction? You get the same stimulus and your response is just to let it roll off your back. That's a normal response. You can have that if you've got a reserve. Your body should not go into an alarm stage because of a small stress, even a large stress. When you're younger, you can usually handle stress better. A lot of people believe they're invincible, and then they come to think that their mortality has caught up with them as they age. The truth is their body's not as functional. They have less reserve. We work on building that reserve. But again, I've given you some ideas on how you can do that. Look at your diet. Are you eating things that allow your body to function better so that you have that reserve? So a little bit of stress can be contended with and not cause symptoms. Are you exercising? Because without activity, the body's not even going to make some of the things it takes to build that reserve. If you're not operating your body and allowing it to maintain the reserve and in a sense anti-age, then you're going to feel the effects of what you're calling aging. So you want to build that reserve through your lifestyle. The better you take care of yourself, the younger you will feel, and you will be biologically younger as well. That's anti-aging. Bioidentical hormones, to some extent, are helpful. When we talk about bioidentical hormones, it's no big secret. We're just trying to use something that's closer to what the body knows as a hormone. Rather than taking hormones from another animal, another animal's gland, we're trying to use things that more resemble what's in the body. That's all bioidentical hormones are. We also, when we're using the treatment of bioidentical hormones, we want to look at ratios, because if I adjust one hormone, I have adjusted every hormone. So if I'm not aware of the ratios, if I'm not aware of how I'm pushing another hormone by adding one, then I could get into more trouble than there was originally. So in doing bioidentical hormones, you want to make sure that you're addressing the right hormones and creating the right ratios so the body can function. That's it. It's no big secret. It's no problem that can't be surmounted. But the use of hormone balancing and perhaps neurotransmitter balancing, if we can look at how the body's operating and help it to operate better, improve function, you've accomplished anti-aging. So it's no best kept secret. It's not hard to do. A lot of it is what you do for yourself. But anti-aging is something that you certainly should practice, because it's no fun getting old. This is Dr. Vince Balanzi. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Good evening.
So now you guys know James Comey was the director of the FBI. Donald Trump fired him and later made a terrible mistake by admitting on national.
Okay. Premature aging. Let's first get a dose of reality here. we're all going to die. That's a fact. And most of us are going to grow old before we die. So how and when we die, we may not have much control over that, but we do have a lot of control over the area of aging, how we age. And what is happening today with a lot of people is that they're aging prematurely. they're developing degenerative diseases that, for example, like arthritis, like diabetes 2, like cardiovascular disease, all these things are avoidable. And people are developing these. Usually it begins in your mid-40s, and then aging happens rapidly and not in a very graceful manner. So first of all, you got to ask yourself, well, how do you want to age? Because you do have a choice here. And if you're like me, well, first of all, you would like to have the energy and the stamina of a young person, even in your older age, even in your elder years. And that's possible. That is totally doable. Another thing is you want to feel great. You don't want the aches and pains that's usually associated with aging. And that too is possible. And finally, you want to look amazing. Even though you're aging, you know you're aging, you still want to look good and sexy. That's right. You want to look sexy. You want to feel sexy. It is possible. And I believe it has to do with lifestyle and diet. In fact, I'm pretty certain it has to do with that. Now, I remember in my mid-40s, I was, prior to that, it used to be that as long as I exercised, I could eat pretty much what I wanted and maintain my weight and be in pretty good shape. And I thought that I was healthy. It seemed to work for me. But once I hit my mid-40s, no matter how much I exercised, I was still gaining weight. And so what's the thinking here is that, oh, well, I got to exercise more and I got to exercise more just to keep the weight off. But it reaches a point. You can't. That's unrealistic. You can't just be adding another hour onto your exercise routine and then adding an extra hour on top of that, trying to keep that weight down. It doesn't work. And something has changed in your body. Your body is changing. And so, another thing that I was experiencing was the aches and pains, what I believe to be early stages of arthritis. And, you know, a poor sense of well-being, lethargy, disruptive sleep, digestive issues, all these symptoms were starting to develop in my mid-40s. And I more or less accepted that this was a part of the aging process, that what I was experiencing was normal. I couldn't have been more wrong. It wasn't normal. It was premature aging. And it wasn't until I became a vegan and started practicing a low-fat vegan diet that I realized that what this was truly premature aging. And it was not something that was normal. It wasn't normal aging. You should be able to age in a manner that you're still energetic, you're still living a vital life, you're still productive, you look good, your weight is maintained, and you feel great. And that's possible. And how it's possible is how I discovered it to be possible was through eating a low-fat vegan diet or a low-fat raw vegan diet, otherwise known as 80-10-10, which as described in Doug Graham's book, the 80-10-10 diet is you're eating 80%, your calories are coming from 80% carbohydrates, 10% fat, 10% protein, and Doug Graham promotes eating predominantly fruits, vegetables with some nuts and seeds, but you can also practice this 80-10-10 diet by also including cooked foods like rice, quinoa, lentils. There's, you know, many different options here. But the optimal way of practicing a low-fat vegan diet is doing the low-fat raw vegan diet, and that's eating predominantly fruits and vegetables. Or you can do sort of a blend. I mean, I'm not 100% raw. I am 100% raw most of the time, but I do like occasionally to eat a cooked meal. But the important fact here is to keep it low-fat. Focus on the low-fat and the high-carbohydrate and get your carbs from nutrient-rich fruit foods like ripe fruit and leafy green vegetables. And when you do that, then you will begin to experience a transformation in your life, and that will be a reversal of the premature aging, and you will bring your body back to where it should be. And I mean, for me, it was like in my 40s, and I'm feeling like I'm 20 years old again. I didn't think it was possible. The energy levels shot through the roof. The vitality I was experiencing was intense. And physically, I lost a ton of weight, and I just felt great overall. And so that is an experience you can have too. And it, of course, with the weight loss, you look better. Your skin, the premature aging that happens on your skin begins to change. So even that begins to reverse itself. And then you can age naturally. Like the way you should. I'm losing my train of thought here. Maybe it has something to do with old age, right? Anyways, follow the 80-10-10 diet and you'll experience enormous changes in your lifestyle. I'll put a link down below where you can get the book. It will be Doug Graham's website, Food and Sport. And I highly recommend you start off by reading this book by Doug Graham.
Advertising on the show, no go. Okay, House Minority Leader Kevin McCartney said Vladimir Putin pays Trump in leaked tapes. Wow, here's another revelation, folks. I think I may have mentioned it, but this is another revelation. House Majority Leader Kevin McCartney, Republican from California, representative, told colleagues last year that he thinks 2016, Russian President Vladimir Putin pays Donald Trump. We all do. Donald Trump is getting something. We haven't seen his taxes. We ain't seen nothing, according to an audio recording obtained by the Washington Post. The California congressman who endorsed Trump during the campaign made the bombshell assertion in conversation with fellow lawmakers, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, a few months before the election. And quoting, there are two people, I think, I'm quoting Kevin McCartney. There's two people I think Putin pays, Ron Hubacher and Trump, McCartney says, according to the recording. Okay, Representative Dana, okay, I may mispronounce the last name, Ro Hubacher, another Republican from California, is a fierce defender of Russia and Putin. Okay, I mean, if Russia is paying you, if Putin is putting money in your pocket, of course you're going to defend those people because they're paying you or they're buying your product. And there is no way that Trump is going to escape this. You know, he's saying, well, bring it on. He's saying, bring the election on. Bring the investigation on. He should have been saying that from the beginning. Bring the election on. He should have been saying that. But he was so solely trying to obstruct it. Okay, swear to God, McCartney added after some of the lawmakers laughed at the statement. He said it, swear to God. According to the Post, Ryan quickly interjected and urged the lawmakers to keep the conversation private, aiding and abetting Trump. I've said this several times. No leaks. This is how we know we're a real family here, the speaker said. Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan is a weasel. This guy is a weasel, someone you cannot trust, someone that should not be trusted. He should not even be the Speaker of the House. This guy lies so much. He's a coward. He's licking Trump's boot and proud to be licking Trump's boots, you know. And every time he comes on television, I want to turn it off because I know this guy's going to be lying through his teeth or trying to, because Paul Ryan, folks, is a big supporter of Donald Trump, a huge supporter. He's got all the damn proof in the world to impeach this guy, but he doesn't. Paul Ryan is getting something from this. Paul Ryan is being paid off too. Paul Ryan is getting something of value to stick by this impeachable president. Representatives for both McCarthy and Ryan disputed the nature of the conversation. Of course, they say things and then they're going to back off of it. Then they're liars. Of course. But if the Washington Post has this tape, then the American people should be privy to this tape because we want to know what the hell is on that tape. No matter what these damn guys, these politicians, representatives, senators, what, no matter what they say in private, should be presented in public because we give these assholes their jobs. They should not be holding any kind of information from the American people. None. But they do. They do all the time because this is all about the Republican Party. This is about the Republican Party doing things for the Republican Party. This is not about the Republican Party doing the things that they ought to be doing for America and their constituency. This is about their party. This is about their party and their party bosses. Paul Ryan is one of the schemiest little fucks in Congress. He should not be believed. He should not be believed. Every time he comes on TV, I just, you know, my blood boils because I know he's going to lie, scheme out of something, and support Trump. And support Trump does. Trump go out and shoot somebody in the head. This asshole, well, let's not rush to judgment here. But there's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. This guy is in Trump's pocket. He's getting something from Trump. There's something being, I think there's two or three people here should be impeached. Trump, Pence, Ryan, these people should be gone. But I do know once Trump is gone, if he's impeached, there will be no more Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer, McMasters, and none of these minions that Trump has around him to go out and lie for him. None of that, you know. So this is bad. This is bad for Trump. This is bad for America. This is bad for the American people. This is awful. This is awful. So many people are saying, well, America is not, we're not at the bottom of the sewer yet, but we will be if this guy stays in office. Because even though there is a special prosecutor on the case, Trump is dumb enough to still try and impede and to obstruct an investigation, no matter who's doing it, especially if it's in his administration. Remember all those times Trump talked about how bad Hillary was with classified information, how awful she was, how awful and corrupt the Obama administration was, and all of this kind of thing? Well, then he has done it to death. His administration is the most corrupt, the most inept, the most worst in American history. And I'm not saying that because I don't like Trump. I'm not saying that because he's abominable. I'm saying that because of what he is and the things he's done and what kind of person he is. Even he was surprised he was elected. This is why I keep saying he just may resign, because this is probably too much for him. And it is a lot. It is a lot. The American people lost trust in him a long time ago. Now his fellow Republicans are losing trust in him. He may have one or two fools like Paul Ryan still believing in him, because there's no doubt about it. Paul Ryan may be getting paid from the Russians, just like McCartney said, but he's now denying through other people that Putin pays them. We're going to find out through, we're going to find a lot of this stuff out once this investigation concludes. And I'm hearing that with Robert Mueller being the new special counsel that's going to be taking over this investigation, I'm hearing that it's going to be a while before this investigation into Donald Trump is concluded. So in that much, Donald Trump may have done a lot of damage to the United States by the time. This is why I'm saying Donald Trump should not be able to do anything legislatively, get anything passed. There should be no more executive orders until this thing is over, until everything is over. But I don't know. The Republicans they're in his, some Republicans are still on his bandwagon, and a lot of Republicans are jumping off. But I don't think Donald Trump should do anything else legislatively until this is resolved. How can he continue to do his job as president when three-fourths of the of America don't want him? Three-fourths of America wanted this special prosecutor. I believe that's why we have one, because we wanted one. The Republicans did not want one, but the American people wanted one. So we got one, and that's a great thing. Let's just hope he's not influenced by anything coming from the Trump administration to let this go. This is really bad for America, folks. This is not good for any of us. And President Barack Obama, I was never a fan of President Barack Obama, but he never brought us anything like this. I was never a fan of George W. Bush, but there's been nothing like this. A lot of people thought George W. Bush was the dumbest president ever until they met Trump. And Trump is still defending himself. He's still out there being defiant. I'm going to get through this. This is going to happen. We got things to do. You have nothing to do until this investigation is over. Until this investigation is over. Okay. And Senate GOP's agenda is at a moment of reckoning with unpredictable Trump. I agree. Donald Trump is totally unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what, even the people around him who try to advise him, say, Trump, don't do this. Trump, do not say that. Trump, don't go out there with this. Trump will go out there and say what the hell he wants to, how he wants to, and when he wants to, even if it's not expedient. Even if it's not expedient. And Fox News seriously downplayed James Comey news. The James Comey news, it backfired. Sean Hannity, I don't like mentioning this guy on the show. He's a far-right Republican, alt-right. I mean, he's a hater, racist. I mean, this guy is just awful. And he goes on TV. He's on Fox News. I never watch his show, but I hear a lot of things about him. I used to listen to his radio show until I found out that this is not what I should be listening to. But he's a millionaire, and he throws out the hate speech, and Fox News seriously downplayed the James Comey news. Now it's backfired on him, and now they have to pay attention, because there is a special prosecutor now. They have to pay attention, even if they don't agree, they don't like it. Who cares? Hannity does not have no say in what goes on in Washington. I don't know if he has been advising Donald Trump or anything. He might have been. He might have been, because Donald Trump has been on his show so many times and they're buddy, buddy. But now we have a special prosecutor and Hannity has nothing to say. His involvement is nil. So he has to, you know, go on television, go on the radio and sprout his hate and his opposition against everything, which he has nothing whatsoever, no input whatsoever. So Hannity, you can sprout all the hate you want to, the lies you want to. We're going to get to the bottom of this with or without you, hopefully without you. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We've been talking, our asses off here, folks. And this Trump thing is just, it just keeps getting better and better on the negative side of it. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be American. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right. Okay, just in. This is just in, folks. Paul Ryan calls for more information on Comey memo. They're all calling for more information. And I actually think that Comey has it. He has it. Or this could be a way for Paul Ryan to say, well, we don't have enough information to go on, so we shouldn't be having this investigation. He could be trying to knock it down because he, like I said before, he's in the pockets of Donald Trump. I mean, he could be, you know, involved in Russia. He could have been involved in the defeat of Hillary Clinton in 2016. Who knows? But you know, if this investigation pans out, I'm looking at this investigation getting completed maybe by the end of the year, hopefully before the 2018 midterm elections, when the polls and vote out all the asshole. These assholes Republicans, including Paul Ryan. All right, Republicans insist Donald Trump requests to James Comey wasn't serious. Yeah, they were saying it was a joke. Basically, they said, well, he, when he told James Comey to let this go, it was just a joke. It was no joke. Because from what I'm hearing, Trump at this time, back in February, I think, Trump cleared the room. He told everybody to get out of the room. And Comey stayed. If it was a joke, why would he clear the room? Everybody would, if it was a joke, he would say it and everybody laugh. But this was serious. And it is serious. He did mean what he say. Because after that, a few months later, after he fired Flynn, James Flynn, Michael Flynn, he still was praising Michael Flynn, saying this guy's been railroaded. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. All of this stuff. So it's right there. It's right there. I mean, the proof is there. He obstructed. He obstructed this by telling Comey to, you know, let it go. Comey said, I'm not going to let it go. He asked, from my understanding, Trump asked Comey for his loyalty, and Comey declined. Next thing you know, a few weeks later, he fired the guy. Fired him while he was, you know, talking to, I think, talking at an FBI seminar or something like that. And he learned about it just like we learned about it. He learned of his firing from the media just like we learned of it. I think that was the wrong way to do it. That was an awful way to do it. He was basically kicked out. Trump kicked him out, period. And then Trump is going to tweet and said, hey, you better not talk about this. You better not talk with tapes or something or other. But that was a total threat. That was a total threat. And I don't think Trump knows what he's doing. And someone called Trump a gangster. I have always said they were thugs. They were thugs in the White House, the good fellas, the godfather in the White House. You just know a bunch of these people are in the White House, ruining the White House, disrespecting the Oval Office. We've seen that with a photograph of Kellyanne Conway, his White House counsel, and is in one of his liars. I mean, she had her feet up all on the couch, looking like a woman of the night or something. It was just awful the way she had disrespected the White House. A lot of them folks in the White House, Bannon and all of these folks, Revis, all of these folks in the White House and all these white men in the White House, and no women, no people of color, nothing but white people figuring and coming up with ways to try to fuck the rest of us. And it's bad. It's not good. Anyway, thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 3 minutes left into the show, and it's been great, folks. It's been wonderful. I've had fun. Believe me, this is not a political show. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, but it's just that this is what's happening now, and you just cannot really let this go. I have to talk about it because it's America, and I love America, and I hope you love America. Get involved. Take your country back from these thugs, these people like Trump and his minions. We have to do something. And this is not a political show, even though I know it's categorized as that. I can make those changes immediately. But I do talk about this because I'm going to be talking about this every day and some cases all the time, because we have to take our country back. We have to do what we can. We can't sit around. We have to take it back.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl. Troubled world, I pray. from the mighty, and the mighty from the small.
All right, goodbye, everybody. All right, thanks for tuning in. I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.